Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's so happy to be here. Coming here is like coming home. It's real.
Praise the Lord.
This time the Lord gave me a burden to talk about a verse. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, where the Lord says, Apostle Paul told Timothy, said, Timothy, you have known, you have followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, and my love, and so on. Okay, that. I'm only going to talk about one thing, conduct. Many years ago, the first time I came here, I was sharing on Philippians. You know, I picked the word joy in the Philippians, and I share from chapter 1 to chapter 4. Right after that, Brother Floyd said, Ted, you don't talk about the whole book. That's the first time. Anyway, so I really thank the Lord. Brother Paul Harland went to be with the Lord. You know, who really introduced me or make it possible so that I can have some of the T. Austin Sparks books? And who helped me to have the Andrew Murray books? And who helped me to get the Brethren's books is Paul Harland. You know, he made it so easy for me. It's the many years, the first time I came to meet you brothers was 1985, I think, at Oakland the conference. Yeah. And then there was a table, a long table, all these wonderful books I only heard before. Now, Paul was standing there. It's about, the T. Austin Sparks books is about this many. I think that year I bought about this many, I brought home. And then Andrew Murray, then some of them. So the brothers is just incredible. And over the years, I believe I had at least one or two times I need some books from somebody. And he actually helped me to find it. Always encouraging, you know. So brothers, sisters, where you are, and the people you're with, wonderful. Let me tell you another example, which my wife told me to tell you. When Charles was sick, and for some reason, my wife and I were brave enough to visit him. I think he was pretty sick at that time. And when I got there, he got his old coat. I mean, he dressed up. It was so very positive. And then at the end, he said, look at that light outside. You know, is it good that we can be his church, that we can be in the glory? And that's what he said. And I kind of forgot that, but my wife remembered it until today. You know, so the Lord is wonderful. Amen. And the Lord's presence is wonderful. And the Lord promised to be with every one of us. Okay. Now this time, I just want to share that the Lord gave me the burden to share some of the things that I observed in the history of Apostle Paul. Not that what he preached, you know, he preached all these letters that we know, but there are some of the things he just said, and that really impressed me. In three areas, one area is that he actually sought actively, diligently, the truth about Jesus Christ. The second thing is he's so vehemently talk about I don't like. You know how many times he said that in his books, in his letters? 4 times. He simply said, you know, I tell the truth, I do not lie. So in him, I think I never really caught the importance that he felt about not lie, about tell the truth. The third area is his humble. You know, he really is humble to the core. And he's humble before the Lord. Not only that, he's also humble before his own brothers and sisters. You know, so those are the three areas that over the years it really affected me. I would just like to share with you. There's one verse that Paul told Timothy. It kind of captured that. You know, he told Timothy that you have followed my teaching and my conduct and then my purpose and so on. So the word conduct, and by the way, when he told Timothy, Timothy was not a kid anymore. Timothy at that time, he has been with Paul for 17 years, because Paul first time saw Timothy is in Acts chapter 16, the first time he saw Timothy. So from that time until he wrote 2 Timothy, Timothy has been with him for 17 years, around 17 years. And so every letter Apostle Paul wrote, Timothy was with him. Either with him or he sent Timothy to somewhere else. But Timothy was his co-worker for all these years. And we all know that toward the end, he actually assigned Timothy to go to Ephesus, the church of Ephesus, to actually to help brothers and sisters there. So Timothy is not a kid anymore. So when Apostle Paul told Timothy, you know, you have followed my conduct, now Timothy knew exactly what he was talking about. We just don't know, because Apostle Paul didn't really tell us what that conduct was. But Timothy knew everything. So when Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, it's not just a talk. You know, Timothy knew exactly what he was talking about. Now let's take a look at that verse. And that's 2 Timothy. Another thing that my wife kept telling me is don't go overtime. So I will not go overtime. Otherwise, I may not have anything to eat tonight. Right? Correct? Yes. Okay, 2 Timothy. Sorry. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But you have carefully followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Now here. So this word conduct, some translation says manner of life. Some translation says way of life. Okay, but it's not what he said. What he said is in previous. What he said is in the teaching part or doctrine part. It's what his life was. And now, if you go into, so you will wonder what Apostle Paul, brother, what are you talking about your conduct? What are you really talking about? You know, when you go see this Greek word that he was using, The Greek word actually it's a leading. There's a leading inside. So the conduct with the leading inside. Now the Greek translation of the Old Testament of Esther chapter 2 verse 20 It refers to Esther, you know, from her youth, he was helped and guided by Mordecai. Okay, so it's in Esther chapter 2, verse 20 or 22, about Esther being guided by Mordecai. Now that same word Apostle Paul used here, you know, in this sentence. So this conduct is a conduct with a guide inside. Just like Esther, you know, when he grew up, there's a guide inside. The guide inside is Mordecai. So it's not just any conduct. You know, I go to McDonald's, or you know, I go to wash my car. No, it's not. It's not that. It's a conduct with a guide inside. Okay. So just as far as I'm concerned, and over the years when I read about Paul, and also I wonder how come, you know, Paul the person was kind of a mystery, you know, and how come I'm not like him? How come it's not easy to find others like him? You know. So, and then there are three areas that I mentioned which really hit me. These three areas, one is he really sought to learn Christ. Okay. And then I'll just give you, brothers and sisters, two things. By the way, I'm sorry, that the Second Timothy, he talks about this manner of life. Okay, there's a guiding in there. So the first thing is about he seeks the Lord. You know, remember he when he talked about his own experience at Damascus Road, he said, you know, when we were approaching the city of Damascus, there's a light coming from heaven, and the voice also, and the voice said, as Saul, why do you persecute me, right? And then it is hard for you to kick against goats. This is Acts chapter 9 and also Acts chapter 26, when Paul, you know, gave the testimony about what happened. He mentioned this thing, it's hard for you to kick against goats. But he never said what is that goats is. But goats means, the goat means, you know, it's like a horse you're going on, and then your owner was pushing you with something sharp, you know, hurt you, you know. And then, however, Saul would not pay attention to it, refused to take it, so he kicks back. But the more he kicks back, the more it hurts. So that's what goats means. And then he gave the testimony that the Lord says, it's hard for you to kick against goats. Then when he essentially told the last time he went to Jerusalem in the Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 26, you know, he essentially gave the testimony about his experience over there. And then he mentioned three things. One thing is the name of Jesus of the Nazarene, the name. And the other thing he mentioned is Stephen. And the third thing he mentioned is people of the way that I persecuted. So he was giving a testimony to the Roman governor, and then and also high priest and so on. He's saying, that's what happened to me. You know, I was persecuting the name of Jesus. I think this is chapter 26 or chapter 22. I persecuted the name of Jesus. I also persecuted Stephen. Remember Stephen? Okay. I also persecuted the people of the way. So those are the three things they persecuted. So I believe those are the goats. At least those are the three goats that was plucking at him. Now the name of Jesus, of course he persecuted at that time. But then you know later, name of Jesus is the highest in his heart. And he lived for the name of Jesus. You know, so what kicked, you know, he was kicked against the goats, but then thank the Lord he was changed. He was changed. Now Stephen, Acts chapter 7 talks about Stephen. To me, when I was a young Christian, that's one of the hardest chapters. It talks about, it actually gave the history of Israelites, the God's people in the Old Testament, but then boom, it turned, and then talks about, Stephen talk about three things. Stephen says, you know, we are so proud of our law, but we are the people who do not. Well, we were the people who do not go by the law, who are against the law. This is one, the first thing. The second thing he said, we were so proud of our temple, you know, our temple in Jerusalem. But God said, the Most High does not live in a place made by the hand of man. Right? So that's Stephen said. So the third thing about circumcision. Now Stephen says, we're so proud of our circumcision. We use that to separate us from other people, from the nations. But he said, you know, we are so proud of our circumcision, but our heart and our ear are not circumcised. You know, Old Testament, I think it's Jeremiah said that. The circumcision is not on the skin. Circumcision is in your heart. In your heart and your ear. In your ear. So this is what Stephen said. And then the fourth thing Stephen says, you know, there's a righteous one. But then the righteous one came, you kill him. So of course, everybody there in the Sanhedrin knew who that righteous one that Stephen was referring to. You know. So at that point, they were so angry. Everybody chased Stephen out and stoned him to death. There's one person there whose name is Saul. Saul was a young and zealous Pharisee. You know, not too many people can get into the Sanhedrin, but he could. He was one of them. So he saw this whole thing. He actually agreed that Stephen should be stoned to death. But now, I think in chapter 22 of Book of Acts, when he, 20 years later, when he think about that episode with Stephen, he felt so bad. You know, he felt so bad. And he said, when they stoned Stephen to death, I was there watching their clothes. I was agreeing with that. And they felt so bad. So thank the Lord, brothers and sisters. You know what really happened? So all these things he regretted so much. You know, persecuting the saints. He regretted so much. You know what really happened? Later, about, you know, 15, 20 years later, when he wrote these letters, all these three things are there. The things about the law, the things about the temple, the things about the circumcision, it's all there. Remember in Galatians, he said, whether you are circumcised or not circumcised is not important. The important is to be a new man. Remember that? That's what he said. Now about these law, you know, the Old Testament law, and he used the whole book of Romans and also the whole book of Galatians to talk about the law. And the law, we are justified not by the works of the law. We are justified by the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. The whole book of Romans and the whole book of Galatians is about that. Okay, and then about the temple. You know, the Old Testament time, you know, at that time even Saul himself was so proud of our temple. Our temple represent us. Represent our belief, represent our church, represent our Jewish religion, and he was. But then when he came to the New Testament, remember coming to the First Corinthians and so on, he's saying, you know, what is the temple? What is the temple? The temple is us. You know, the brothers and sisters, the faith, the people of God are the temple. And Christ himself is the base, is the foundation of the temple. No, the First Corinthians, Second Corinthians. So all these things. So my point is this. You see how he really sought the truth of Christ. He wouldn't say that, hey, that's where I brought up with. That's where I'm equipped to preach. No, he just threw that out and then start anew. He really sought the truth of Christ. Another thing very interesting about seeking the truth of Christ. You know, this is in Galatians chapter 1. It says that when Saul, after this Damascus thing, when Saul went to the wilderness in Arabia for 3 years, he came back, and then what did he do? He stayed with Peter for 15 days. The wonder is the Bible didn't say what they talked to each other about. It didn't say, okay. And then sometimes some of the zealous one will say, you know, he only stayed with Peter 15 days because he doesn't want to associate himself with Peter or with James and so on. Princess, that is not the case, I think, which some other books said the same thing. You know, he have never heard how Jesus Christ walked on the earth for 3.5 years. He didn't know. Right? So let me just read one part by a certain brother said. This brother's name is Coney Bear. Another person is Holson. You probably know that book. They wrote a book called Life and Epistles of St. Paul. And it was 1881. Real old book. Okay. There, this is what they said. They said about this 15 days. What took place in the conversation of these two saints? What was said of Jesus of Nazareth, who suffered, died, and was buried? And of Jesus, the glorified Lord, who had risen and ascended and became head over all things to the church? Was what was felt of the Christian love and devotion? What was learned under the spirit teaching of Christian church, the truth has not been revealed and cannot be known. Didn't say, but you know what he's indicating? He's indicating is when Paul actually went over there, I think he never really talked to Peter face to face before, you know, or any of these people who have walked with Jesus before. He never did. But after 3 years, I wanted to find out. So he went back to stay with Peter for 15 days. So these people, Coney Bear and Holson, they were saying, whoa, when they were together. One learned from the other. Paul learned from Peter. Lord Jesus walked on earth, you know, saved, you know, brought salvation, died, raised, and then Peter didn't see how this risen Lord appeared to Paul. So in that 15 days, these two brothers and sisters, think simple. You know, think if you have 15 days together with somebody, how much can you talk? And these two people are not just a simple people. One has a full knowledge of Christ Jesus on earth. The other has a full knowledge of Christ Jesus in heaven. You know, 15 days they were together. How much can they talk about it? You know, so anyway, I just leave that with you. So this is Paul's seeking of Christ Jesus. Okay, the second thing about this I don't lie. You know, that thing hits me so many times for so many years. Why? I thought to myself, Apostle Paul, brother, why do you want to emphasize this thing again and again? Now I'll just show you a few places. The first place is in Romans chapter 9, verse 1. I tell the truth in Christ, I'm not lying. My conscience also bear witness in Holy Spirit. I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. And the 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ know that I am not lying. You know? And you think that's enough? Now, the third place, Galatians chapter 1, verse 20. Concerning the things I write to you before God, I do not lie. Okay, the first place is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. I was appointed a teacher and apostle. I'm speaking the truth in Christ, and I'm not lying. So, dear brothers and sisters, do you feel something strange? You know, why he emphasized that? Why he emphasized that? You know, and over the years, that really kind of struck me. And on one hand, it told me I cannot lie. On the other hand, I'm really mystified by why this thing is so important to him, to Apostle Paul. Now, and then I recently kind of figure that every time he talks about lying, he talks in the presence. When he think about lying thing, he immediately think about my Heavenly Father. You know, this verse he said, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ know that I'm not lying. So when he think about telling the truth or telling a lie, he immediately think about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All these four places, he either talk about that, or he talks about the Holy Spirit, or he talks about in Christ. So, brother and sister, I think Apostle Paul probably feel, you know, my Heavenly Father is there, my Christ Jesus is there, the Holy Spirit is there. Before then, how can I tell a lie? How can I tell a lie? Not only that, and also before brothers and sisters, let me read another place. This is in Ephesians 4, he says, therefore, put away lying. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So I think another reason he thinks I cannot lie is because I am with my brothers and sisters. He said, speak the truth to your neighbor. So because we are members of one another. This thing, you know, hit him so hard. You know, I'm speaking to my brother, I'm speaking to my sister, I'm speaking to members of one another. How can I lie? Okay, that's the human point of view. So I think this is why he felt so strongly. You know, Lord Jesus felt very strongly about this. You know how he described the Satan? What was his basic description? The Lord Jesus' description of Satan. What is his description?
The liar, the father of lies.
Yes. That's the Lord Jesus' main point about Satan. Not only Satan is a liar, but he affects us. He affects us. So he is the father of lies. This is what Lord Jesus. Anyway, brothers and sisters, I just leave that with you because it bothered me many, many years why Apostle Paul would emphasize that. Again and again, four times. Okay. So this is the second thing. And the third thing I want to share with you was his humble. Apostle Paul's humble. And he kind of humbled to the core. We all know that he talks about I am the least of the apostles. I am less than the least of the saints. I'm the greatest, I'm the chief sinner, right? Many years ago when I first learned this thing, I thought he was just a nice guy, you know. Just like many of us, try to be very polite, you know. But the more you read it, and the more it's not the case, he is just humble to the core. You know, remember these three things are separated by years. When he talked about I'm the least of the apostles, it was in 1 Corinthians. And the second time he talked about this is in Ephesians. I mean, I am less than the least of the saints. That's in the Ephesians. I believe that's about at least 3 or 5 years separate. And then finally, when he talks about I'm the chief sinner, that's in 1 Timothy, when he was in the prison in Rome. So that at least I think is 3 or 5 years later. So it's a gradual. So first of all, when he think about all the apostles, by the way, sometimes we may have the wrong impression that Apostle Paul looked down upon other apostles. That's not the case. He said, I'm the least among the apostles. The reason he said was because I was persecuting the church. They did not. Okay. So the second time when he talk about I'm less than the least among the saints, of the saints. He said, and that's in the Ephesians chapter 3, when he talks about the church, when he talks about brothers and sisters together. And then I think his reason is that they are saved. You know, they turn to Christ, they turn to light, they turn the riches of Christ much earlier than I do. I wouldn't, but they did. So that's why he says, I'm less than the least of the saints. Now the third time, Timothy, you know, in 1 Timothy, he was already in the prison, the last few years in his life. He's saying that, I persecuted God's people, and I'm the chief of the sinner. And then, however, God still saved me in order to make me an example, a pattern, so that the unbelievers and those that are going to be saved in the future, they can see people like me can be saved. And then they are encouraged. That's what he's saying. But brothers and sisters, if we think that he is just making a story, you know, then you really would despise him. He's cheating. But I don't believe so. I believe that he really felt. He really felt that among the saints, I'm the less than the least. And also among the unbelievers, I'm the chief sinner. I'm the chief sinner. It's not, whether I'm the chief sinner is not important. The important thing is this great Savior can, if he can save me, he can save you as well. That's what he was saying. You know, he's not saying these things for himself. He's saying this thing so that people can be encouraged. So that's that. Another thing that he said was, in the Philippians, it's very interesting. Philippians are nice people. Philippian church, they are nice people. You know, they start work together, you know, devote themselves together, oneness in the work of the gospel, and the joy fill their heart, again and again. And then Apostle Paul says that, you know, you have a faith, you have an offering of faith, sacrifice of faith to God, you, brothers and sisters in the Philippian church. You know, you have a sacrifice of faith to God. That's what you have. And but I'm going to add something. I'm going to add just a little drink on top of your offering, so that I can also be an offering to God. And when I think about that, I rejoice. brothers and sisters, it sounds as a simple thing, but think about it. Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, he has served the Lord 25 years. You know, in a way, nobody ever did. You know, in all the difficulties, you know, all the sufferings and so on, you know, and all the revelations. But then he considered himself just a little bit, you know, relative to the brothers and sisters of the Philippian church. He said, Philippian, you know, brother, sister, you have given a sacrifice of faith to God. You know, I am going to add myself to it a little bit. A drink offering. Brother and sister, have you seen a brother that kind of consider himself this way, relative to brothers and sisters? I think this is truly wonderful. You know, he never thought himself to be way above others. You know, he considered himself one of them. Not only one of them, and one small part of them. You know, so this is he. Another thing, there are actually many examples. Another thing is this. Again, this is Philippian. You know, Philippian, remember Philippian chapter 3, the Apostle Paul talks about press on toward the goal. You heard of that, right? Press on toward the goal. That he's talking about himself, really seeking the Lord and press on toward the goal. This is Philippians chapter 3. And then you think that, I mean, we will all think that only Apostle Paul is qualified to say something like that. Because we're not seeking the Lord that fervently, that zealously as he did. But what he said is this. Not only I, but those who are mature in the Lord. The word mature actually, it means that it has a long view in the Lord. Now let's take a look at that. I think it will be refreshing. It's Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Philippians 3, verse 14. I'm sorry. Okay. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And also here, and then immediately after that, verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. You know, this mature actually means I have been following the Lord, and I have a long view. I want to go to the very end. Because some of the translations says perfect. But whether it's mature or whether it's perfect, it actually means that he has a view, a willingness to go with the Lord toward the very end. And he's saying, if we have that, and then you will be like me, pressed toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. So as far as he's concerned, the prize of upward call is not just restricted to him, or not restricted to some, you know, full-time servant. It's all who has a heart to pursue him. Then he's saying there's a reward of upward calling. Brothers and sisters, you have to believe him instead of believe ourselves. Okay. Really, I mean, thank the Lord that he still give us time on earth. Right, and even some of us who retire, you know, the retirement, it's supposed to be boring, but we have time to really pursue the Lord, you know, And then we will get the reward, just like Peter, just like Apostle Paul got the reward. This is what Jesus said. Yeah. And then the last surprising thing is this. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is his last, his very last. Remember what he said, I have run the race, right? I have fought the fight. I have kept the faith. And from now on, there is a crown of righteousness reserved for me, right? Now, oftentimes, we just stopped there. But you should read the next verse, right? You should read the next verse. So let's read the next verse. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Yeah, 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 okay. Yeah, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. You see, remember, oftentimes we just read there and stop. So then we will say, hey, only Apostle Paul, who has run the race, who has fought the fight, who has kept the faith, is qualified to say something like that. But what he said himself, He says, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So, brothers and sisters, this is our dear Apostle Paul. You know, he doesn't think, you know, after working so hard whole life, you know, going through all these battles and all these sufferings, you know, the boat turn upside down in the water a day, you know, being chased by animals, being chased by people, all that, and wrote all these wonderful letters, that, and then the crown of righteousness reserved for me. He didn't say that. He didn't put it that way. He said the crown of righteousness is also reserved for all who have loved his appearing. So dear brothers and sisters, oftentimes when we think about love his appearing, we actually put it in a very narrow way. You say, hey, you know, the Lord is supposed to return 1 year from now on that mountain over there, okay? Or let's argue how he would be returning, you know. Brothers and sisters, if you ask Apostle Paul, he's not interested in that at all. He is just interested in we love his appearing. Christ has to come. He will come. Right? And also, more importantly, in the hearts of us, we want him to come. We actually long for him to come, right? And then Apostle Paul says, you know, for those, you know, a crown of righteousness is reserved for you. Brother, sister, this is Apostle Paul. So when we think about him, thank the Lord, he's a wonderful example. You know, his heart is bigger than many of us, me for sure. And his heart is bigger than many. And he never boasts of it. And he said that's what we ought to be. You know, thinking about our wonderful Lord, thinking about our Heavenly Father, thinking about the wonderful Holy Spirit that comes, that relates, that resides in us. And looking and thinking about the brothers and sisters that he gave us. And over the years, they became my blessing. He's saying, thinking about that, and thinking that he will surely return. And that drives our life today. How am I going to live? You know, how am I going to spend my next day? You know, how am I going to deal with my wife? And how am I going to deal with my coworkers and deal with my son? It's all related to this. If we love his appearing, we behave differently. We behave at home like a priest. You know, when I used to complain about my wife, at least in heart, that this and that. But now, the Lord is in my heart. You know, the Lord has turned me into a priest. You know, before I think anything about my wife, I think about the Lord first. How he wants me to deal with my wife, right? And my kids, and my everything. Thank the Lord, the Christ never leaves our eyesight. The Heavenly Father never leaves our eyesight. The Holy Spirit never leaves me. Have to live in a conscious presence of that.
Amen.
Then all these things will come together. You know, he will seek, just like Apostle Paul, I want to really know Christ Jesus, you know, as he wanted to. And then when he learned, he corrected himself, he let himself be corrected. And now we don't want to lie, because then my Heavenly Father will be sad. My Lord Jesus will be sad. My Holy Spirit inside of me will grieve, right? And my brothers and sisters will be damaged because of that, you know? So I won't do that. And then, you know, then consider myself relative to brothers and sisters and look at his humble, his humility. Look at his love, his agape love, you know, so I think, although none of this thing is in his teaching, those are not in his teaching. Those are in his conduct. And when you look at his conduct, look at all these things, there's something that guide him within. It's not only the Holy Spirit that guide him within. You know, it's just like Mordecai to Esther. There's something in him that guided him. That, I believe, is the sight of the Heavenly Father, is the sight of Lord Jesus, is the sight of the Holy Spirit, and the concern for brothers and sisters. That guided him, make him Paul as we know. Thank you, brother and sister. 12:15. Yeah. So let's bow our head, have a word of prayer. Lord, we just pray that we could be affected by the humble heart of our brother Paul. And also, Lord, we pray that we could be serious about you, about knowing you, and serious about wanting to know you, and as our dear brother Paul. And also, Lord, we want to be honest before you. Since we live by the sincerity and simplicity of God, that we live on earth by his grace and not by our own wisdom. So Lord, we just pray that this beautiful picture of yourself, of the Father, of the Holy Spirit, and even our brother Paul will be an encouragement to all of us. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Lord Jesus, we pray.